was a hot afternoon, last day of June, and the sun was a demon. The clouds were afraid, one tin in the shade, and the pavement was steaming. I told Billy Ray in his red Chevrolet, I needed time for some thinking. I was just walking by when I looked in her eye, and I swore it was winking. She was 31 and I was 17. I knew nothing about love, she knew everything. But I sat down beside her on a front porch swing, wondered what the coming night would bring. The sun closed her eyes as it climbed in the skies, and it started to swelter. Sweat trickled down the front of her gown, and I thought it would melt her. She threw back her hair like I wasn't there, and she sipped on a Julie. Her shoulders were bare, and I tried not to stare when I looked at her too late. When she looked at me, I heard her softly say, I know you're young, you don't know what to do or say, but stay with me until the sun has gone away, and I will chase the boy in you away. And then she smiled, and we talked for a while, then we walked for a mile to the sea. We sat on the sand, and the boy took her hand, but I saw the sun rise as a man. Have gone by since I looked in her eye, but the memory lingers. I go back in my mind to the very first time I feel the touch of her fingers. Was a hot afternoon, the last day of June, and the sun was.
That's Bobby Goldsboro there, Some of the First Time from 1973. I'm Bear Williams with you now, taking you through till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock I should say, this afternoon. And what I'm going to do is give you a brief rundown on the history of Radio Eleanor since it started at the end of 1980. I'll just get back to the music now while I get things sorted out, as I haven't actually got a script here to do this program, so I'm going to have to do it as I go along. So that was Bobby Goldsboro, as I said, Some of the First Time. We're going now to the early 1970s again with this one by Pussycat.
Mm-hmm.
Tours of time here on Radio Eleanor. Apologies here for a few little things going wrong here because I'm not quite used to the equipment here. When I'm speaking to you now, I didn't have the cue switch in the right position so I could hear myself speaking on the monitor through the headphones, so I thought for the moment I wasn't coming through. So as you will no doubt gather, with this being a guest appearance, I'm a bit out of touch with the equipment here, with the controls and that. But anyway, let's start on this history. To tell you how Eleanor started, I decided to give you, as a result of the new situation here at Radio Eleanor, I've decided to give a brief rundown on the history of Radio Eleanor. And as it must obviously be of reasonable interest to many people that are listening, so that's what I've decided to do. That will give you some idea about my previous involvement with Radio Eleanor and so on, and how the new situation here at Radio Eleanor has come about. So as I said, to give you the history of Radio Eleanor, I'm going to have to go back to 1980 to pirate radio, to the history of pirate radio on Merseyside. Well, in fact, I'm going to have to go right the way back to 79, actually, to sew up some of the loose ends. I'm going to have to be obviously very brief about this, otherwise I could go on talking for hours about various stations and various things. So I'm going to try and stick just briefly to the history of Radio Eleanor, and of course not any other stations, otherwise it'll just take too long. There's no way I could fit it in within an hour. And I'm hoping to keep things going. I don't want to obviously make this a complete chat show, talk show. I want to keep some records going as well for those people, because obviously Eleanor is a music station. So anyway, we'll have to go back now to 1979, when I was running Radio 252. Radio 252 was very successful in 1979. We had a mailing address, we had many things. And the later part of 79, Radio 252 changed its name to MAR. Now, as I said, Radio 252 was a station I was running with Tony Jones. Tony Jones was involved, Paul J was involved, and one or two others were involved, and we used to operate regular on Sunday evenings and also on Sunday afternoons as well in 1979. And in October 1979, Radio 252, I decided to change the name of Radio 252 to Merseyland Alternative Radio. That's Merseyland Alternative Radio. And when Merseyland Alternative Radio started, it started on 252 meters. But by November, about November 1980, MAR started about the 15th of October 1980. And sometime in November, I can't remember the exact date, I changed to 266 meters, as the 252 meters wasn't quite as good, and it seemed that 266 would be better. And that's how MAR started, on 266, and it started in, as I said, 15th of October 1979. And MAR lasted for quite a long time, actually, but I left MAR in June 1980. As a result of various disagreements and problems and internal problems that were going on with the station, because I just couldn't handle it. There was just too many things happening and too many problems, too many arguments. And MAR was a partnership, basically, and I was one of the partners. John Dwyer was the other. So, after I left MAR in June 1980, I'm not going to go into all the history of that, all the details of that, obviously. A very bad situation developed in MAR, unfortunately, a particularly bad situation. And a lot of the DJs and people that were involved with MAR obviously got rather fed up with it because of the internal problems and the bad internal situation. Although it may have sounded a very good station on the air, there was a lot of very bad internal problems with it. Anyway, one of the MAR resulted in a number of breakaway stations that where DJs and various people involved in MAR. Thanks very much. I've just been brought a cup of tea here. Various people involved in MAR wanted to obviously start their own station because they found MAR was very unsatisfactory indeed, because of the very bad internal situation. And when our stations had started towards the end of 1980, about November 1980, was Radio Eleanor that started in around November 1980. And I didn't actually start Radio Eleanor at all. It was a couple of other people whose names I'm not going to mention, because obviously I don't want to upset anybody or start saying any things that might upset anybody over the air. So it was started in November 1980 by two people, which I won't mention, because, well, I've never really spoken to them really since the end of 1980, when I fell out with them. Or we fell out, so to speak, because of various disagreements and so on. So, started towards the end of 1980, and towards the latter part of 1980, about late November, early December, Peanut Kenny, known as Peanut Kenny, that's Kenny, he took over Eleanor, because again, it had a few problems with the people who started it. And it was the engineer, the original engineer, who started Radio Eleanor, I'm not going to mention, of course, he left in January 1981 when he was involved with Kenny as a result of obviously some disagreement. So at that stage, Radio Eleanor it carried on for a few weeks, and then it went off the air due to transmitter difficulties and transmitter problems. And it was off and on quite a bit for quite some time to come. Until about April or May, I think it was April actually, late April 1981, that I got involved in Radio Eleanor. I won't say exactly how I got involved in it, because it's such a long story, it'll take so long to speak about it, so it will take probably far too long for an hour show. So I got involved in, really, just to put it very briefly, I was approached for a crystal by one of the people on Radio Eleanor, as they were stuck for a crystal. And then when I got in, seen them and discussed about the crystal that he wanted, it was very clear that they were off the air. I didn't know the reason that they were off the air, but it became very clear that they were off the air due to technical problems with the transmitter. So at that stage I helped them out, and Radio Eleanor got back on the air successfully in towards the end of April 1981. So we're up to April now, 1981, with the history of Radio Eleanor. Let's have another record now. Going back now to 1968 with this one from Fleetwood Mac. As I said, I'm turning the wrong controls here, I'm pressing a few wrong things, so if the levels are wrong, I'd like to apologise for that, because I'm not used to using this equipment. Thank you. That's Fleetwood Mac there, and Albatross from 1968. Anyway, we got up to the, and giving you a rundown on the history of Radio LNR, I'm Bert Williams, to April 1981. And I'm going to have to think here to remember exactly how things went in 1981. If I remember correctly, because I haven't really thought about this up until the point when I came up to the studio here, about the history of Radio LN, so I'm going to have to try and dig it all out of my memory, so I may not remember a few things quite correctly. But if I remember correctly, throughout most of 81, Radio LN run reasonably successfully in the evenings, from 6 o'clock in the evenings till 12 midnight. And I think it was weekdays at that time, from 6 o'clock in the evenings through till 12 midnight, Monday to Friday. But I think, if I remember correctly, when it was first, for the first few months, from about April to something like June or July 1981, I think it'd be about June actually, something like that, it was running all night. Instead of running the six till midnight, came up a little bit later in the history of LNR, when it, at that stage, it was running from midnight through till midday. At various times. I can't remember the exact times, unfortunately. And about June or July 81, it started running from 6 o'clock in the evening through till 12 midnight, 5 days a week. And Peanut Kenny was running it then, and I was the engineer. And there's probably a lot of details I can't quite remember without having to think about it for some considerable time. So all I'm doing this afternoon is just giving you a brief rundown on the history of LNR, and so as you will understand the new situation more clearly here with LNR. So, as I said, I maintained and looked after the transmitters throughout most of 81. And things went reasonably successfully up till about early 1982. That's when a few problems came up. As Kenny suggested to me that I should get my own station on the air, because I hadn't bothered about a station since I left MAR in June 1981. Well, I did have one very brief station that I ran, Merseyside Music Radio, in late 1980, in October 1980, but that only lasted for a very short time. And it was in fact the people who I was running Merseyside Music Radio with were in fact the very people that started Radio LNR. And what happened was I had running difficulties with it. In other words, I was trying to add 50% control of the station, Merseyside Music Radio. But it seemed to me that the 50% control I had was only there in theory. In practice, everything was just complete and utter chaos, to put it simply. And all instructions that were given was just being ignored, and there was just all sorts of chaos going on. So I took the transmitter back, to do a job on it. But obviously they took it that I was taking the transmitter back, and they obviously weren't going to see it again, so there was a little bit of arguments and things happened there. And at that stage, after a little bit of arguing and hassle, they gave me 100% control, and I had 100% control of Merseyside Music Radio. But anyway, even though I had 100% control, it still seemed to me that I had 100% control in theory and virtually zero control in practice, because all the things I was saying to try and make Merseyside Music Radio a good station, to try and get everything right, were just being ignored, and all the people that were involved in it were just doing their own thing, doing everything to suit themselves and not really worried about the ultimate success of the station. And it was just complete chaos, really. So after about a week or so of this, I just pulled out altogether, and that was the end of Merseyside Music Radio. There was one other difficulty too with Merseyside Music Radio, and that is the person, one of the people that were involved in it, who I'm not going to name, had a transmitter which he, at that time he hadn't quite got it right, and this was there in the background, waiting to be brought in, I suppose one could say. So when I left Merseyside Music Radio, it was in fact brought in, and that's how Radio Elena started. Radio Elena started with this other transmitter that had been there, but the person that had it hadn't got it right. And as a result of me leaving, obviously I had to make the best of a bad job at that particular stage, because the transmitter wasn't quite right that they were using when they first started. But they did get it right later on, but I think that would be something like early 1981. So I thought I'd just go back to the roots there of Radio Elena, but I better come back now to the date that I got up to, and that is in fact late 1981, early 1982. As I said, Kenny started running Elena in late 1981. And in early 1982, the engineer, the fellow that had, one of the people, the Elena's first engineer, who was the breakaway from MAR and Merseyside Music Radio, of course he'd also been on another station over in Liverpool, Radio Jackie, he left Radio Elena, as I said, and I got involved in April 1981. He left in January 1981. Anyway, I gave you a rundown of 1981, towards the end of 1981. Kenny suggested the idea that I start another station. And that's exactly what I did, and that was Radio Ronda. And I started that just after Christmas. I started actually on the 1st of January 1982. And it ran very successfully it was early May 1982. When Radio Ronda folded, unfortunately, due to various running difficulties. Anyway, what the situation was, I was reluctant to start a station at that stage, because I knew all the difficulties that I had with MAR and Merseyside Music Radio. I knew all the practical running difficulties that were involved with various stations. So, at that particular time, I was very reluctant, but Kenny gave me a lot of persuasion. He said, you know, you want to get on, be a good thing, and all that. He gave me all the best advice, and he offered to help us out with it as well, give us considerable help with Radio Ronda. Unfortunately, though, after about 5 to 6 weeks, things went wrong with Radio Ronda, in terms of the transmitter locations and things like that. And unfortunately, as a result of this, me and Kenny had a little argument, and I had to take the transmitter that was being used for Radio Ronda in early 1982 was also being used for Radio Elena, and it was the only one I had available at the time. And unfortunately, due to this disagreement that I had with Kenny, it was necessary for me to remove the transmitter from the locations that Radio Elena and Radio Ronda were operating from. Radio Elena and Ronda were using similar transmitter locations in a similar block of flats. And unfortunately, I just couldn't work with the particular situation. I had too many problems, too many difficulties. So unfortunately I had to leave, and I had to take the transmitter with me to a friend's location in order to be able to continue with Radio Ronda successfully, because there was a lot of problems and difficulties at that stage. So it was moved away from there, and unfortunately Radio Elena had to go off the air because they didn't have a transmitter, unfortunately. Very unfortunate that, but it was just one of those things. So, I suppose you could say that me and Kenny fell out quite a little bit, to such an extent that it actually resulted, unfortunately, in Eleanor not having a transmitter. It was rather extremely unfortunate, that, but just one of those things. So, Rhonda continued successfully up, and Radio Eleanor ceased transmissions in, I think it was about mid-February. 1982, and it was at that point, as I say, after 6 weeks since Rhonda started, that I had to move on, so to speak. And at that stage, of course, Eleanor, unfortunately, was off the air for that reason, and they didn't have a transmitter available. And I just found the situation myself unworkable, really. It was taking up far too much of me time. I was going up to these locations a great deal, spending a great deal of time up there, having discussions, lots of discussions, getting into a lot of arguments, and to me, I just seemed that I wasn't getting anywhere. I wasn't really getting much results. I was just spending a lot of time, and it seemed as though the time was going into a bit of a dead end, really, unfortunately. So I seen no other solution to the problem, and so unfortunately, Eleanor was off the air in February 1982, and it didn't come back on, well, for quite a long time. Anyway, I better get back to the music now here on Radio Eleanor on 254, and we're also on 104 VHF FM. So I'll just check here that I've got all the levels correct on the decks. An all-time classic now from ABBA from 1979.
A fairy tale, you can take the future even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. I believe in angels when I know the time. I have a dream, a fantasy to help me through reality, and my destination makes it worth the while. I know the time is right for me. I cross.
Lempoch Carpets of 126 Duke Street, Birkenhead, Merseyside, is your quality carpet shop. Included in among their offers, they have bedroom carpets from £2.60 a square yard, Shadows carpet from £3.95, Exminster quality carpets from £6.95, or Twist pile carpet, 80% wool, 20% nylon, for just £8.95 a square yard. With a free measure and estimating service available, as well as a home selection service, ring them on 653 0044. They also provide free delivery anywhere on Merseyside. So that's Glen Park Carpets of 126 Duke Street, Birkenhead.
For the quickest and cheapest shoe repair service, take a visit to Cobbler's Cabin of 132 Wallasey Road, Liscard in Wallasey. They provide a while-you-wait shoe repair service with ladies' heels from £1, leather sole rubber heels at £6.49. They also cut keys and provide a sports trophies engraving service. So phone Jerry or Ron on 638 8588 or call personally to Cobbler's Cabin at 132 Wallasey Road, Liscard in Wallasey. Don't forget they are open 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday. So phone Jerry or Ron on 638 8588.
Okay, that's the commercial break this afternoon on Radio Ellen. And we've got another commercial break coming up in just a moment. So, that's the, as I said, the commercial break. I'm just doing something here, twiddling a few knobs. So, anyway, I was giving you the history, wasn't it, of Radio Ellen. And I got up to early 1982 when I said that I'd moved locations and had to unfortunately I only had one transmitter at that time, and I had to move it to a place, well, at least 3 miles away from Radio Ellen's locations, really, because I just wasn't able to come to an agreement, unfortunately, with Kenny, who was running Radio Ellen at that particular time. Well, he was running Radio Ellen for quite a long time, actually, as you'll no doubt gather when I come to the end of this brief rundown on the history of Radio Ellen. So, the situation was, as I said, Ellen was off the air from mid-February 1982, till about, when would it be now? I think it would be around the middle of 1982. But anyway, there was a number of, as I said, in addition, I was spending quite a lot of time going up and discussing things with Kenny at that time, and we were having quite a lot of problems. I don't think I'll go into these, because it'll take far too long to go into all the details over the air. But we were having quite a lot of problems, and things were going on in that. Anyway, around the middle of 1982, if I remember correctly, but remember's a bit vague on this because I wasn't involved much with Radio Ellen around the middle of 1982. I ran rather successfully up until early May 1982, when unfortunately, due to a number of things, there was quite a lot of trouble going on in pirate radio at that time. There was, not just with the authorities, but with rival stations, and this was one of the things that that I was discussing, and Kenny and me were discussing a lot, and a lot of time was wasted on this discussion, and we just weren't really solving any problems with it. And we ended up arguing and disagreeing over this trouble that was going on with rival stations. So anyway, as I said, there was a lot of problems with rival stations, and this was one of the things that led to the downfall of Radio Rhondda in early May 1980, because we had there was all kinds of things going on, such as the fire brigade being sent up and the police being sent up and things like that up to the place where Radio Rhondda was operating from to what would be the word mess up Radio Rhondda, I think, was the aim of the people that were doing it. So there was that, and there was other things that went wrong as well, and the authorities also got involved in the situation, and unfortunately Radio Rhondda had to fold due to practical running difficulties in early May 1982 after operating from the 1st of January 1982. So that was just over 4 months, a very successful operation that was. And to me, that's been one of my most successful stations so far. Of course, the station I'm running now, Mersey Waves, that's also very successful. So anyway, that was the situation. And around the middle of 1982, I'm trying to remember now what the situation was around the middle of 1982, what the position was with in relation to the radio. 1982 was a very bad year, actually, because it was the year when a lot of the trouble with rival stations reached its peak. It was quite a bad year, that. So, there was quite a few things happened that year, but I just can't remember them all immediately, right away, so to speak. But I think, if I remember correctly, Eleanor returned sometime in 1982, briefly, for a month or two, and then I think it went off the air again. I can't remember the exact details on that, but I did have some involvement with Eleanor then, but it was very, very limited indeed. So I'm going to play a record now which will remind you of Radio Rhondda, which operated for the first 4 months of 1982, and it's by Van Gallis, an all-time classic by Van Gallis. And it also reminds me of the Falklands dispute. That's when the army were moving into the Falklands.
You ask me where to begin. Am I so lost in my sin? You ask me where did I fall? I'll say I can't tell you when. But if my spirit, how will I find what is near? Don't question, I'm not alone. Somehow I'll find my way home. My sun shall rise in the east, so shall my heart be at peace.
Carspers of 302 Cleveland Street, Birkenhead, Merseyside, is the place for guaranteed used car spurs. They have a wide range of used spurs, such as engines, gearboxes, radiators, tyres, batteries, dynamos and starters, all on sale at probably the cheapest prices on the road. Neptune Carspers also pay top prices for MOT failures, write-offs and scrap cars. For information, telephone Bill on 051-647-5735 or call to Neptune Carspers, 302 Cleveland Street in Birkenhead. JG Car Accessories of 130 Wallasey Road in Wallasey, Merseyside are your brake and clutch specialist. With clutches from £14.95, fitted from £22.35, brakes from £3.49, fitted from £8.49. All other components supplied and fitted. For details of their prices, telephone them on 630-1756. They are open Monday to Saturday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. and also on Sundays from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. That's JG Car Accessories of 130 Wallasey Road in Wallasey. The place for your car accessories. Their phone number again, 630-1756. Remember, they are open on Sundays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m.
Well, that's another commercial break here on Eleanor on 254 AM and 104 megahertz FM. I was coming now towards the end of 1982, as I said, in the middle of 1982. Eleanor seemed to be off and on a bit, and I wasn't very much involved in it, as there'd been a lot of problems with rival stations and so on. So, when was it now? 15th of October 1982, LBC, Liverpool Broadcasting, started. And most of the people that were involved in that. I was approached by John Dwyer, formerly of MAR. And the thing is, I was approached by John Dwyer of MAR. And at that time, I'd had a lot of trouble with rival stations, and there'd been quite a lot of problems. And I had various discussions with various people about this approach that had been made to me by John Dwyer. Certain people said, well, maybe it's worth considering it. Maybe he's learnt a little bit of sense from the problems that he had in MAR. So certain people suggested the possibility of giving it a second chance with John Dwyer. And one of the people I discussed the John Dwyer situation at the end of 82 was Kenny. That's Peanut Kenny, and he suggested the possibility of me giving it another go with John Dwyer, as we both sort of thought that John Dwyer might have learned some sense and some reason, because obviously he'd done a lot of things, a lot of bad things with MAR, which ultimately led to its downfall. And anyway, as a result of this, it was decided that we form a three-way partnership for the new station, LBC, Liverpool Broadcasting. And I suggested the LBC name, and that was adopted, and LBC took to the air on the 15th, well, I think it was the 15th or the 18th, something like that, either the 15th or the 18th of October, 1982. With three owners and managers, and I was one of them. The other was Kenny, and the other was John Dwyer. And not very long after it started, the problems seemed to be cropping up with LBC. There was all kinds of internal problems seemed to be cropping up quite rapidly with it. Towards the end of 82, just before Christmas, I started construction work on a new high-powered transmitter for LBC, but unfortunately, after a major row with Kenny, I discontinued work on it, because I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll leave this transmitter, because there's no point in me spending all this time doing it if LBC is going to fold and not work out. So what I did was I suspended work on it, and I decided to myself that I would resume construction work on the transmitter when I seen the situation starting to improve on LBC. But unfortunately, it didn't. It just went from bad to worse, and it deteriorated quite substantially. And by March 1983, LBC folded. It was a 7-day-a-week station, that, and it ran from mid-October to early March 1983. That's mid-October 82 to early March 1983. The final thing that led to the downfall of LBC was the fact that Kenny, without consulting me, although I was away at the time on weekends, was going away quite a lot on weekends, so I wasn't available to some degree to be consulted about this matter. But anyway, a decision was made to change the LBC name back to Radio Eleanor. And unfortunately, Kenny did this without actually any consultations with me in any form whatsoever. And the way I seen it, by him doing that, he was taken over to a degree quite, well, he was more or less changing the name to LBC, and I'd been involved with LBC on an engineering level and many other levels as well. I spent a lot of time involved in LBC, which seemed to have been, from my point of view, from what I was getting out of it, wasted when the name was changed back to Eleanor, because what I had helped to establish, namely LBC, over them previous, well, how many months would it be? I think it's about 5 months, actually, 4 to 5 months LBC was running. I think about 4 months would be more accurate. So then 4 months would be the LBC, a 7-day-a-week, Merseyside's first 7-day-a-week station of any reasonable significance. That was LBC, and as I said, I just felt that a lot of time of mine had just gone down the drain when the name was changed back to Eleanor. So at that stage, there was very considerable arguments again took place and rows between me and Kenny. And unfortunately this time it was the end of the line between me and Kenny. Very unfortunate that, but just one of those things. And there was a very considerable argument, a lot of rowing, and that was it really. I had to withdraw my transmitter, unfortunately. That was very unfortunate, but again, just one of those things. And LBC had no sooner changed its name to Eleanor than it folded. It didn't. Announcements was actually made on LBC that it was changing its name to Eleanor. And but it never actually happened. Eleanor never actually came on the air. I think they came on the air with one test, and that was that. But when I did take my transmitter back at that time, when I withdrew the main LBC transmitter, which was mine, I did provide Kenny with a transmitter in working order, which was used for one test. They went on for 1 day just after LBC had folded. For some unknown reason, it didn't continue then. I think the reason that it didn't continue was because Kenny needed time to think and decide what he was going to do in the radio, which way he was going to turn, which way he was going to go, and who he was going to go in with. So it was quite a number of weeks, I think something like 6 weeks or more, before Eleanor returned. And by that stage, I was no longer involved at all, because as I said, the disagreements that took place and what I had put into LBC, which I felt had been wasted, resulted in me leaving altogether, and it resulted in the end of the line between me and Kenny. So what happened then was that I left altogether and was no longer involved in Eleanor. And when Eleanor returned around the middle of 1983, it had a new engineer, Tom Lodge. He became the Eleanor engineer. And Eleanor run from then successfully right up until now. And the later part of 83, as I said, Tom Lodge was the engineer. He looked after the transmitter, and he also run his own station, which was Station M. Anyway, better get back to the music now. So we're up around the middle of 1983, which is the current we're getting near to the current situation now with Eleanor. Unfortunately, I'm going to be running a little bit over three here, but I've had a word with John Freeman, and he's kindly given me his consent to run over 3 o'clock. So thanks very much, John Freeman there. So this will give me time to finish, because it does take a while to give a brief rundown on these sort of things. We're going back now to mid-1960s with this one from the Fortunes.
When I see that girl go walking by, shouldn't cry. Here it comes again, that feeling. Here it comes again. When I see her look into his eyes, no matter how I try, here it comes again, that feeling. Here it comes again. Inside of me, then put it out, those tears inside of me. There is nothing said for me to say.
Fortunes there from the early 1960s, well, the mid-1960s actually. Here it comes again. 3 o'clock is the time, well, 1 minute past three is the time here on Radio Eleanor. 1254 meters in the medium wave band, that's 1170 kilohertz at the moment, because we haven't got an 1179 crystal available due to the loss of the other one in the theft of a transmitter 2 weeks ago. Well, it's about 3 weeks ago now. So anyway, coming back to the history of Radio Eleanor, as I said, Radio Eleanor in the middle of 1983 returned, and this time Paul Rogers was...